And today, to continue on, a couple of announcements. So I emailed out on Friday the homework number one password. Did everybody get that email? Anybody not? Okay. So for homeworks, I'll email out every week what the password is if I don't remember to tell you at the end of lecture. But there will be a different password for each set of homework solutions. I also emailed out this example problem password. I went back to homework one and password protected those example problems just because I saw I had a link on there and that went down. I'm assuming the authors of the book no longer want those publicly posted, so I decided to password protect them. I'm just going to leave the same password on those anytime I post. The password will always be example. But the homework passwords, the solutions to the actual homework problems will change. Your next homework is going to be due this Friday. Okay, so last time we were talking about this ideal transformer model, reintroducing analysis of circuits with transformers. Did a couple examples of that. And then finally kind of ended here where we were noting a lot of the similarities between what we've been looking at in power converters and this concept of a transformer. If I want these two to really be quite similar, what I need to be able to do is apply DC to this transformer. That's not something I can do with any physical element, but it is something I can do with this circuit element called a DC transformer, which is not a real thing, cannot be realized physically in any direct implementation. We can do kind of intelligent things with a bunch of switches to get close, but I can't build this thing simply. But I can use it to analyze circuits, and its behavior is well defined. It behaves just like any other transformer, except that it has no problem with DC being applied to it. Okay. And we'll look at today now using this in models of power converters. At the same time, we're going to start looking at including loss mechanisms. Okay. Are there any questions before we jump into that? Okay. If not, we'll hop in. One thing I want to do, look at another view of this before I hop in. So on the right here, what I have is this DC transformer, and we know it's the DC transformer because I've drawn this bar across it. That makes it this circuit construct, mathematical thing, not a real thing. I'm looking at how that might model a power converter. This over here is an equivalent model to this transformer, where instead of realizing it as a transformer, drawing the circuit element, I've drawn kind of two controlled sources here that exhibit the defining equations of this transformer, right? So in a transformer, the voltages on either side, primary and secondary, are linked by this turns ratio, and the currents are linked by the inverse of the turns ratio. That is this equation here and this equation here, which were my V2 is equal to 1 over N times VG, IG is equal to N times I1 is equal to N times I2. In my transformer representation, replacing N with the conversion ratio M of V, and then on what my input and output voltages are, what I get is two controlled sources here. And these two are completely equivalent. This will behave the same way as my ideal transformer, right? So here, voltage here is VG. Voltage here is V. I know from my transformer equation that these are linked in such a way that V divided by M of D is equal to VG. That's my equation one for a transformer. Which rearranged is this thing here. And then I know that this here being IG, this being capital I, my currents are going to be linked by equation I times M of V is equal to IG. My second equation, that's this thing here. So this model over here is just doing the same thing with controlled sources. So this current, which is IG, is equal to M of D times I, where I is the current over here on the secondary side. And then this source is equal to V, is equal to M of D times VG, the voltage over here on the primary. So I can sketch this transformer. I've got this M of D thing on both of these sources. Then on one side, I have a voltage source that's linked to the voltage back on the primary. On the other side, I have a current source that's linked to the current over on the secondary. Okay. I go over this because this is going to come up a little later as we're deriving equivalent circuits. Another reason you might want to know this, if you want to implement an ideal transformer in, say, LTSpice, this is an easy way to do it. Controlled sources that depend on the opposite side of the transformer. You can do it with coupled inductors as well. K is equal to 1. This way, better approximates an ideal transformer. With coupled inductors, you'd have some inductance remaining, which we're not modeling in this ideal thing. Okay, so to move on here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply this at the same time. I'm going to look into loss modeling, which we haven't included yet in our converter analysis. It's going to kind of nominally modify the process. So now instead of an ideal boost converter, what I have is a boost converter where I've replaced my inductor by a series inductor and resistor. And this resistor models the resistance of the inductor winding. So much like we just do from the transformer, inductor is going to be implemented with potentially some high permeability core and then some coil wrapped and turns around that. That coil made of copper is going to have some resistance associated with it. And that's going to contribute loss to our circuit. So I no longer have just an ideal inductor that's lossless. My inductor, when I'm modeling a physical one, might have an ideal inductor plus some loss mechanism. Okay. There are more and varied loss mechanisms that show up in real inductors. We're just going to model the resistance of the winding in this example. Later on in the course, when we get to chapters 13 through 15, we'll look at more complex loss models for these inductive elements. Okay. So if I want to include this into the boost converter, I'm going to analyze this thing in the same way. So I'm still going to apply small ripple analysis and then volt second balance, cap charge balance. The only difference is that now I'm going to have to account for voltage drops on this resistor. Okay. So using our old approach, I'm going to split this thing into what happens in subinterval 1 and subinterval 2. Subinterval 1 switches connected in switch position 1. Now I want to do my volt second balance. Is averaging the solving in this interval, excuse me. Step by step. I'm going to solve just in this interval what is the voltage on the inductor first, and then I'll average these two together to get the average voltage on the inductor, set that to 0. Okay, so I'm going to define my polarity on the inductor voltage in this way so that it corresponds to the current here, I. Then in this interval, voltage on my inductor is going to be the moment the switch is connected here. So this is equal to, going around this loop, VG minus whatever this voltage is, V sub RL. that's not going to help me as I go forward. V sub R L is potentially some time varying thing, and I don't have any tools to deal with time varying voltages on resistors. My tools are small ripple analysis, which applies to inductor currents, capacitor voltages. So I'm going to try to replace this term with something I like more that has constants, inductor currents, capacitor voltages, because I know I can apply small ripple to them and get rid of this time varying nature. So easiest way to do that is, well, voltage on this resistor is going to be current times resistance, and the current through it is the inductor current, right? So this is IL of T times RL. And then I can apply my small ripple analysis, IL of T. I'm going to approximate that as just its DC component, say VG minus IL RL. This step is my small ripple analysis. Capacitor current, this subinterval. Well, I've got these two elements disconnected from the rest of the circuit, no difference from normal. It's just going to be V of T over R, the negative sign. Then I apply small ripple analysis to that. It is minus V over R. Okay. Interval two. Switch. Solve these things again. V sub L. In interval two. I can skip a couple steps here. It's going to be VG. I'm going to have the same VR in series with the inductor. That's going to, again, be something I can change to IL of T times RL and then apply my small ripple approximation. And now at the output, I have the output voltage. Similarly, with the small ripple approximation, it's just the DC component of the output voltage. Okay. My capacitor current is now going to be IL minus V over R. Now I have the inductor current coming in through this resistor, but I don't care that the resistor is there. What I'm talking about, the current coming through that branch, the purely in series. I get IL minus V over R. Okay. Then what do I do with these? Well, now I can apply my volt second balance and cap charge balance. It's going to look like so. Average voltage on my inductor across one period is zero. I've got VG minus ILRL common to both intervals. This minus V only in the second interval. This is going to look like VG minus ILRL minus D prime V. And my cap charge balance. Average current in my capacitor equal to zero, equal to D prime IL minus V over R. Any problems so far? Okay. This one hasn't changed at all from when we analyzed the ideal boost converter. Okay. It only has to do with the current that's coming into this node that the positive terminal of the capacitor is connected to. Doesn't care that there's a resistor there or not. This one now has changed. There's an extra voltage drop term here compared to when we analyzed the ideal boost. Okay. So this one is still going to tell us that IL is equal to V over RD prime. This one I'm going to take on to the next slide and solve for the conversion ratio. Okay. So my equation was 0 is Eg minus ILRL minus D prime V. Before we didn't have this middle term, so I could solve for the conversion ratio, it was V over Vg is 1 over D prime. Now this middle term brings in the inductor current. This equation now depends on the inductor current. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this expression from the previous slide and plug that in to eliminate the inductor current. If I want to solve for the conversion ratio, I want V over Vg is equal to something. I don't want inductor current middling in there. I'm going to plug that in here. IL is equal to V over RD prime. 0 is equal to Vg minus V over RD prime RL minus D prime V. Then I'm going to group together terms which contain the output voltage. It's going to be Vg minus V times RL over RD prime minus D prime. Then I'll move this term over to the left, divide by Vg and divide by all this stuff. What I'll get is that my conversion ratio, M of D, which is V over Vg equal to 1 over D prime minus RL over RD prime. I should have pulled out, when I went from here to here, I pulled out negative V, so this term should have been plus, not minus. Carries through, this is plus. Okay. So this is my new conversion ratio. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to try to express this as my conversion ratio is equal to M ideal, which is my ideal conversion ratio, what the conversion ratio would have been if I had no losses. So we've solved that before for the boost converter, it's 1 over D prime times something here, function of RL, R, D prime, whatever else. And I want to put it in this form because this is going to tell me that my conversion ratio is whatever it would be if there were no losses, times something that gives me the effect of these loss mechanisms. This is going to be my ideal conversion ratio. And this is going to tell me the effect of the non-idealities. My ideal conversion ratio for the boost and my ideal is equal to 1 over D prime. Did that a few classes ago. So if I want to express that in this way, I'll take this expression and I'm going to try to pull a 1 over D prime out front. So it's going to become M of D is equal to pull this thing out. And then my F, this effect of the non-idealities, would be 1 over 1 plus RL over R D prime squared. Something we might note, look at either of these expressions to do it. As RL goes to zero, and if qualitatively that resistance goes to zero, I should get rid of those losses. I should go back to my ideal converter. As RL goes to zero, this term goes to zero. I have one inside the parentheses, and I get back my ideal conversion ratio, the prerequisite for this being a correct derivation. Conversion ratio with loss mechanisms. Set those loss mechanisms to zero, I should go back to the ideal case. Okay. So let's look quickly at what a plot of this looks like. So this is my M of D versus C with losses included, plotted for various magnitudes of this inductor resistance. They're all given relative to the load resistance to kind of normalize the whole thing. But as I go in this direction on the curves, RL is increasing. Well, I see if this one, RL is equal to zero. It's my ideal case. We looked at before, my boost converter boosts up the voltage and it can go off to infinite output voltage from any small input. But as I include even a small amount of losses, now I see what was promised a few lectures ago, that this boost converter is limited in its conversion ratio when you have any losses. With kind of a relatively small ratio RL to R, you can get up to about 5. As my RL gets bigger, my ability to boost up the voltage is limited. And in any case with real losses, if I go to this, D is equal to 1, my alpha voltage is going to tank and my efficiency is going to drop to zero. This is a case where I've just shorted out the inductor. Okay, questions so far? Not. Let's see. Going to get into equivalent circuit models. I'm going to jump ahead a couple slides and then come back. Actually, this is what I want to talk about, but I'm going to insert a slide here to cover it. I need a little more space. Okay, so just manipulated this expression, so I would have my M is equal to 1 over D prime times 1 over 1 plus RL over R D prime squared. Get that right? Okay. And then what I want to look at briefly is, okay, what is the efficiency of this converter with these loss mechanisms included? So my efficiency is output power over input power. C equal to my output power, I can write as V squared over R, low voltage and the low resistance. My input power is input voltage times input current. If I hop back to a circuit diagram, my input current, the current through the input source, that's equal to the inductor current. So I can replace that. And my inductor current, I solved by cap charge bounds. It was V over RD prime. So I'll replace that in here. And then what's going to happen, in the denominator, my V over R is going to cancel with, in the numerator, one of the V's and the 1 over R. And I'll get V over VG times 1 over D prime in the denominator. I'll just flip that up and put D prime here. Okay. This thing is my conversion ratio, which is the first thing I wrote on this slide. That looks like 1 over D prime, which is my ideal conversion ratio, times this effect of the non-ideality. This thing looks like my 1 over M ideal. My ideal conversion ratio is 1 over D prime, so D prime is the reciprocal of that. So, if I, for example, plug in M, my D prime out front is going to cancel, and my efficiency is going to be 1 over 1 plus RL over R D prime squared. Which was my F of dot, dot, dot. I go back here. So the reason I wanted to do this, express it in this form, is because this thing is going to be my efficiency. That's not a special case here. Generally, when conduction losses are included, my M conversion ratio is equal to the ideal conversion ratio multiplied by the efficiency of the converter. This is kind of a nice result. Your homework this week will ask you to manipulate things into this form on one of the problems. It's also nice that, keeping this in mind, future homeworks, I'll ask you to solve for the conversion ratio, then solve for the efficiency. Well, if you keep this in mind, you're really only doing one thing, right? Once you've solved for the conversion ratio with losses, you've already solved for the efficiency. Sometimes this can be, even if you don't want the conversion ratio, a more direct way to solve the efficiency of a converter. Just solve the conversion ratio and then remove the ideal conversion ratio from it. Okay, so hopping ahead just to discuss this, corresponding to the previous plot, this is our efficiency. If I plot that over a range of D, boost converter does real well duty cycles close to zero, which is where it's only boosting up a small amount. It's got a conversion ratio close to one. As you try to force it to boost with a significant ratio, boost the output voltage very high relative to the input, the efficiency is going to tank. Okay. This is again for various values. As I go this direction, RL is increasing. In reality, with the technology we have today, probably all of these curves are a little bit too pessimistic. We could do somewhat better, get something that kind of stays up here, out a little further, but it's always going to tank as I try to go too high in conversion ratio. Okay. Questions on that? All right, if not, what I'm going to do then is hop back here and talk about equivalent circuit modeling. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take the analysis I've already done, and I'm going to use that to construct a model of this converter after I've already done my small ripple analysis and done my volt second and cap charge balance. So why do we do those things? Well, beginning of the course, we talked about exact analysis of these converters is very hard because I've got this switching thing and it's nonlinear and it jumps between these different intervals and I've got second order differential equations in each. That's real hard to analyze. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the equations from the converter, average them over one period, apply small ripple analysis that makes it tractable and simple to solve, and I can get results that mean something and that I can design from. Here with this equivalent circuit modeling, what we're going to do is say, okay, I've got these set of equations now derived from volt second and cap charge balance. They're fundamentally circuit equations. What is the exact circuit that they're describing? And it's not the switching converter, it's the switching converter after I've done this averaging and small ripple analysis. And that's going to change its behavior. The switch is no longer in there, I've averaged it away. Okay. The goal here is to construct an averaged equivalent circuit. From my volt second and cap charge balance equations. Okay, so I'm going to pull those two equations back in. As I derive them, my volt second balance equation was VL equal to zero, the VG minus ILRL minus D prime V. And my cap charge balance average capacitor current was D prime IL minus V over R. Where did these things come from? My volt second balance equation is an equation describing the voltages applied to the inductor. Somewhat like a KVL, the only weird part is that it has these two subintervals that is a KVL in one and a KVL in the other, and then average them together. This is from KVL plus averaging. Averaging, extra letters weren't going to fit. Capacitor current equation, kind of a dual of that, right? I looked at the capacitors coming into and out of the capacitor node, averaged them. This is a KCL plus averaging. So what I'll do now, for each of these, is sketch the circuit described by these equations. So I'm going to take my volt second balance. KVL. What it tells me is I've got some loop that has three voltages in it. As I go around the loop, I'm going to encounter these three voltages. Because it's a closed loop, the sum of those voltages has to add to zero. Simple definition of KVL, right? So what does this look like? I'm just going to draw a loop with three breaks in it. Here's my circuit. And across each of these breaks is going to be some element that exhibits the voltage here, VG, minus ILRL, minus D prime V. Now, this might be a little weird. If I look at this more directly at the moment, there's actually four elements. The fourth one is the voltage on the inductor. That just happens to be zero. So I could include a fourth element here, which is the inductor. Where V sub L is zero, but my average voltage on it, this should be the average here. In my average circuit, that average voltage is equal to zero, so this is a short. Okay. Because I've averaged over one period in steady state, even though the inductor is in this loop, it just gets averaged out. Okay, so when you sketch these, you won't need to include that. The reason I belabor the point right now is because this is still the inductor loop. So it tells me one thing about it, that the current in this loop is the inductor current. So going through this whole thing, the current in this loop is IL. Okay. Now what I want to do is make this into some complete circuit. I'm going to sketch in elements for each of these three voltages. And I'm going to try to draw them as things that make sense. So here, this voltage is VG. That's my input source. It's an independent source, so I'm going to draw it as an independent source. VG. This one, I've got a voltage drop, IL times RL. And the current going through this loop everywhere is IL. This element looks like a resistor, value RL. And this last one's a little weird. The output voltage, but multiplied by some duty cycle, which is something external, the control to the circuit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw it as a controlled voltage source, value D prime V. square voltage source is a control voltage source. It means somewhere else in the circuit is something controlling that voltage. Okay, same thing for my cap charge balance. Just the dual, now I'm going to have a KCL. Cap charge balance, similarly, came from averaging away my capacitor. Here, average current into the capacitor is equal to zero. That means this thing looks like an open. So this thing disappears. What I'm left with is two currents. I've got D prime IL coming into this node, minus V over R going out of it. So I'm gonna have a circuit that looks like this, where I have D prime IL coming in and V over R going out. Because this is obtained from the capacitor cap charge balance, I know that the voltage between these two nodes is V. So then I can say that the element over here, which is taking a current V over R, because this voltage is V, looks like a resistor of value R. And the element over here, which is supplying a current D prime IL, looks like, again, some just controlled current source, D prime IL. Okay, I'm going to take these two circuits and I'm going to sketch them again on the next page now. So what I have, a circuit that looks like this, VG, RL, D prime V, and the current in this was capital IL. Then I have D prime IL feeding load resistor voltage V. What do you notice about this? The ideal DC to DC converter without part of it, right? Missing the input and the output of it. Is there any different way that I can sketch this circuit? DC transformer. So as promised at the beginning, these two controlled sources, where they have the same scaling ratio, then the currents and voltages are linked to the opposite side. That's exactly what I have here. D prime in both of them. And this voltage links over here. This current links to that current. These two sources are just giving me the behavior of an ideal DC transformer. If I replace that, the rest of my circuit will remain the same. sketch this as this. Okay, how did I know the dots were in the non-inverting configuration? So I had D prime V with the positive up top, V with the positive up top. So this thing, the voltages are in the same polarity on both sides. So I know to draw the dots, both high. This bar, again, just tells me that it's a DC transformer. Last thing I need to know is the conversion ratio. What is the conversion ratio here? Or the turns ratio, rather, excuse me. Make some room. Okay, if you don't see it immediately, the easiest thing is always to go back to kind of the definition of the transformer. So I'll go back to calling this V1, this V2. So my transformer equation is V1 over N1 equal to V2 over N2. And then I'll plug in V1 is D prime V. V2 is just V. And cancel V's off of both sides. And then say N2 D prime is equal to N1. And I can label these however I want. I can say N2 is 1 and N1 is D prime. Say any scale factor of that. The easiest way is just going to be to stick with that. I have D prime to 1 for my turns ratio. Okay, this is now my complete DC average equivalent circuit. An average, say DC, because this models my behavior in steady state. Later on in the course, we'll look at if I want to look at transient operation, what does a DC plus AC or AC small signal equivalent circuit look like, again, with this averaging. To get to here, what we did, we averaged the behavior by doing this volt second and cap charge balance, and then backed out our functional behaviors of this thing. Okay, two things I want to do before we close. I want to check to make sure I did this right. I'm going to solve the conversion ratio and the efficiency. Now I can do that just by solving this circuit using traditional circuit manipulation techniques. So to solve it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to push these two elements through the transformer. What I'll get then is a circuit that looks similar, but I've pushed everything through the transformer. Since I push through to the secondary, this remains R and the voltage here remains V. But my RL and my voltage source are going to scale. Pushing them through, what I'm going to get is VG over D prime, RL over D prime squared. And then I can solve things like output voltage. Now this circuit is just a resistor divider. My output voltage is VG over D prime times R over R plus RL over D prime squared. A little manipulation. This will tell me that my conversion ratio M is equal to divide VG over, and then I'll just multiply it 1 over R into the top and bottom of this thing. I'll get 1 over D prime, 1 over 1 plus RL over R D prime squared. Check. It's the same thing that I solved previously. That worked. My efficiency, P out over P in. I'll call this current here some IX. Don't really care what it is or what I'm about to do, but just for sake of discussion, this current is IL, but as it gets pushed through the transformer, it's going to scale and become D prime IL. Be careful of that. We talked about pushing sources and impedances through a transformer. So beware that even though this isn't a current source, as you push through, everything still scales. Current here is now D prime IL. Okay. Just a heads up on that. But what am I going to do? So my output power is going to be whatever is delivered to this load resistance. I can call that the output voltage times this current. And my input power from a scaled source, but it's still a real circuit. So I can say that the power from the input is VG over D prime, the source, times whatever current it supplies. Because I've got one loop, these currents are the same. They cancel. My efficiency is V over VG times D prime. That is the same thing that I got before. Cancel these. Again, my efficiency is the ideal conversion, or the conversion ratio times 1 over the ideal conversion ratio, same relationship we just talked about. Okay? Stop there. Pick up on Friday. Thanks, guys. Thank you.